Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, longtime government and law teacher, and on my podcast, Here's Where It Gets Interesting. I dive deeply into the stories you haven't heard about America's greatest thinkers and figureheads. I also interview many of today's leading cultural experts like Adam Grant, Ken Burns, and Patrick Radden Keefe, who share their insights, challenge us to think in new and innovative ways. So follow Here's Where It Gets Interesting on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey listeners, I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week, they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Four, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp. This all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon. And scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Helping Friendly podcast. This is a quick hit for the Gorge Night 2, July 16th, 2016. And we are here with John Landis, who is at Lon Jandis on Twitter. And he's actually currently driving. Were you driving back to SeaTac from the Gorge?
Yeah, we got to go drop off the car and get on the plane back to Boston.
Back to the real world after how many shows?
9 consecutive, 11 with Wrigley, but we missed Man and Deer Creek. So, but it's been a really nice run.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So the Gorge, how was it? Tell us about the scene, about your experience there. It was your first time, right?
Yeah, I'm a Gorgian, so it was unreal. I mean, it was basically a festival without, like you said, the Ferris wheel. Really, really laid back scene. Security didn't care about anything.
Nice.
They didn't even look at our car on the way in. Just the air of that place, like, it's such a magical venue. It's really hard to explain, but the venue itself, one of the best places to see a concert, I would say. We posted up, there's between like the floor, the pit, and the lawn, there are these terraces. There's like 7 or 8 of them, and they're flat and grass, and then there's like, it's like 10 feet of grass, and then like a 3 or 4 foot rock wall. And we just boxed out a big area of that both nights. Great view, awesome, just standing on flat grass.
No tarp?
No tarp. There were definitely plenty of those, though.
Oh, you were out west, so.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds beautiful. Everybody says go there. I've even heard people say that it trumps Red Rocks, which is, I know, a very bold statement, but it sounds, everything looks great. Someday I'll go.
It's your own city,
Yeah.
It's very laid back. It's kind of a walk in and out of the venue, but it's more like a pilgrimage, and you just kind of enjoy it for what it is.
Cool. So let's talk about last night. We had a pretty diverse set list and some pretty good playing. And what were your thoughts?
Yeah, amazing playing. These guys, I mean, the whole first set, I could see just with Trey's posture, he was Trey face locked in the entire time.
People were definitely saying that on the Twitters last night too.
Yeah. I mean, if they were watching the webcast, they could probably see better than I could, but, just like I said, his posture, and he was just so locked in. They sound so tight right now. They can absolutely play any song that they want. And I'm just going to eat it all up.
Awesome.
I changed my name, my display name on Twitter to Blisshead. I try not to be too much of a fluffer, but this is what I spend my time and money, doing, and I want to enjoy every second of it. So, there's plenty of space to be critical, but when they're playing this well, it's really Fishman as being the anchor, really, really, whatever they want to do, I'm game.
That's a pretty good review. I'm pretty much right there with you, actually, and I haven't been on the whole tour, or most of the tour, as it were. So we had a Buried Alive opener, and I just want to go ahead and say once again on this podcast that when I hear Buried Alive opener, or I see it as the opener, I know that that is going to be, with just maybe one notable exception, a great show. They went into some good, rock and funk and dance and bluegrass, and it's a pretty good first set.
So Buried Alive, as soon as it started, someone in the pit started throwing tortillas. I didn't get the memo, but there was a big tortilla war down there.
Wow.
And people were getting buried alive in tortillas.
But think of really, all the quesadillas.
I don't know. Maybe it was some lot vendor who just wasn't having a good time and not selling enough of this shit. but it was hilarious. Bluegrass, rock, whatever. Uncle Penn, always. I also consider that one to be a sign of a really great show. You know, when they're in the mood to play something like that, same thing with Buried Alive.
And when they hit it on Uncle Penn, when, you know, because I've heard some Uncle Penns that don't, you know they're in a good mood to try it, but they don't always. But this one, I felt like they did a pretty good job of it. It's a tricky song.
It is, and I thought Mike really stood out on that one.
Cool.
You know, you guys were saying how you like how they've been changing up a lot of the bluegrass. This is I think this is the third Uncle Penn I got in those 9 shows.
Yeah, they've actually played this one more than any of the others.
Exactly.
But who can complain?
You know, no, I'm not. And again, I think that it's just a sign of them feeling like they're on fire right now. And that's how I feel. So, you know, there was some really interesting stuff. I mean, what was it? Sleep Again and then Driver. That was happening right during the sunset. And
yeah.
It was just gorgeous.
And they bookmarked that It's Ice, which is pretty cool. It's got some
interesting jamming. Like It's Ice, you know, when they get soft in the jam, like when they would go into Swept Away or something like that. But after those two slower tunes, that funky jam in It's Ice was really welcome. They were just turning on all cylinders, man.
Mm-hmm. We'd be remiss not to mention the Bathtub Gin.
Bathtub Gin, and you know what? Honestly, wingsuit in that set.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I remember last year at Dick's, I really thought that they could have taken it a lot further, and then this one was very, very satisfactory.
Well,
in the bliss section.
As you're coming out of the show, we'll forgive you, but I'll point out for our listeners that Wingsuit was in the second set. But that's okay, because all your comments are still valid, because I loved that Wingsuit. I love pretty much any Wingsuit. I thought that was a good one. They did a good Halfway to the Moon right before the Bathtub Gin.
Absolutely, yeah. We were all kind of surprised. You know, they were making some longer pauses in between songs.
Right.
I think it was like 5:55 and Halfway to the Moon had the longest pauses before them, which seems kind of regular now that they take a while before these Fuego tunes. Waiting All Night's another one. So when Halfway to the Moon came on, they stopped for almost 3 minutes or so, I think.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, I hope that they're, you know, comfortable in this, but it was a really, really good version.
Yeah, I thought it came off well, though they haven't really had much trouble with that song.
No, they haven't. I would say they've been doing that one better than the other two that I mentioned.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point too, the Bathtub Gin, I thought it started out slow. You know, I made the pun slow gin for those in the bar or restaurant industry. but it really did pick up. It was a really nice type one, like rocker, great way to end the set. You know, it was no Magna Gin, but it was definitely a party.
Cool. Yeah, no, it was, I, you know, in my morning listen and Twitter recap of that, I think, I don't know, I don't want to quote myself, but basically I think I said it didn't go super deep, super out there, but it was just really good. Really good.
It was a textbook type one gin that was, you know,
kind of like the tweezer from the night before.
Very much like that, yep.
So then, speaking of more or less textbook type one, but we had a great Blaze On opened, and set two was underway. Do you have any particular favorites from that, from second set?
Blaze On is great. I love that tune. It's just, it was funny. Okay, so Blaze On was great. I really thought they were going to take it far. They did some pretty interesting stuff in the jam on that one. And, you know, you could hear Trey strumming that chord. It wasn't the D chord just yet, but he was just strumming right away. And I was thinking to myself, we're going to get number lined. and as soon as we did, the lawn erupted in glow sticks. I've never seen glow sticks for a number line like that before.
That's great.
It was, everyone was screaming. I've never seen a crowd so excited for number line, and the band definitely fed off that energy. I thought that number line was fantastic.
Trey's solo was outstanding in it.
Right. Trey is, I'll get to the encore later, but, you know, and then the Carini that we just like all just threw down right after that. I thought that that was really good. It was got a little dark. It would have, yeah. You know, I think a lot of us would have preferred it go on like about twice as long as it did. But it was, that place was rocking.
Yeah, it's hard to complain about a, you know, a nice heavy Carini after a lighter number like Number Line. So it really, it's a good change of vibe.
Right? Placement points for sure.
Yeah. So we talked about the wingsuit, and let's talk about this Mike's Groove.
Yeah. Well, wait. I think Shade happened before. Shade happened, and I don't know how people on the webcast felt about it, but for us, that we were sitting in the sun all day, just boiling. You know, I actually woke up with that song stuck in my head. It was one of my pick five, and I thought that they really did a great job on that. You know, I'm a Blizzard. I dig the ballads. You know, Trey can do what he wants. The mics was great jam. I was like, oh man, it would be amazing. I knew with the set list that we were getting that we were going to come close to a second jam, but they really did take their time before wrapping it up. And then Farmhouse was like, the setting was great. If you want to do Mike's Farm Groove, you know, the Gorge seems to be the place for it. It was a pretty, you know, people were going to say it was a pretty songy set. But I don't think that there were really any weak points overall.
They kept it moving. I mean, Shade in the first, you know, bit of Wingsuit or the slowest bits of the set, even Farmhouse, it's hard to call it slow because Trey's solo is, oh God, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and, well, we thought it was funny because, you know, no one was expecting him to go out of Mike's into Farmhouse. So we all turned to each other and we're like, oh man, Trey just trolled us so hard.
I Am Hydrogen is a slow, quiet song too. Of course, it's a complicated composition and I prefer it to everything. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not like it's always, you know, rage, 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 rage right through a Mike's Groove. There's supposed to be some contrast.
It sounded like at the end of Mike's they were going to go into Simple, which would have been a lot of fun. And Hydrogen is always welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I was hoping for it after the What's the Use the night before, you know, to get some of that just hands in the air, throw your head up high, and you know, soak in the notes. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention, man. Trey's tone, especially on the first night, some of these songs like Undermine, he was just so super funky, and that whole second set, his tone was just out of this world, and he knew it, you know? He knew what he was doing to us, so, you know, and we were getting a lot of that last night as well, night two. But the Weakapog, I thought, was probably the jam of the night. They really got dirty with it. It got really funky. Everyone was getting down, even though a lot of us were very tired at that point.
It's a long weekend, long day in the sun.
Yeah.
It'll catch
Late
up
nights.
To you.
Oh, Late absolutely. Nights.
So let's talk about the encore here.
Yeah. So my favorite part is just that, you know, Fishman sits back there and he is, like I said, the anchor, man. He was just driving a lot of this show, a lot of the shows that I've seen. And I love when he gets some time, some recognition, some time to goof around, running around like a maniac, hold your head up, love you. Couldn't get any better than that. And then so he started introducing the band, Paige McConnell on keys, and then he says Mike Gordon on drums. That's the bass. he's like Jesus Christ on drums, and there's Trey behind and everyone flips out. You know, they're having so much fun. It's impossible not to love these guys when they're having this much fun.
It is contagious.
You know, the hood was so perfect. It's like a Gorge staple at this point. He took a page out of the Wendt playbook, turned off the lights. There was a big glow stick war.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He said, you know, okay, Chris, can we turn off the lights really quick? and then the, you know, the Bliss Jam with that, the lights slowly coming back on over time. Everyone was really stoked. You know, it's a page out of Phish history getting replayed for us. So that was a really exciting moment. And then, of course, Tweezer reprise just bombs. You know?
Surely somebody saw that coming, but I did, and I'm just sitting here, you know, with all the time in the world, looking at the set lists and having time to mull over all these possibilities, and I completely forgot about the reprise.
None of us at the show did. None of us forgot. We were bookending Tweezer both ends.
Cool.
And, you know, there were some, I was talking to people, and some were hoping that maybe they would open the show with it, or, like, close the first set with it, or something like that, but I had the feeling that, you know, what better way to end a concert than Tweezer reprise, and what better way to end two nights at the Gorge of all places?
That's good set listing. That's what it is.
Yeah, it really was. So. And, you know, they're very much doing it on the fly. You can absolutely tell, like, you know, sometimes I wonder how they are able to pull these songs out like this and put it together and know what's been played. You know, I've just been to 9 shows, and I'm trying to think to myself, you know, I really want, like, Slave. When was the last time they played Slave? I can't really remember. What's you know,
right.
So but they seem to know, and it's I'm impressed.
Well, it sounds like you've had a heck of a weekend and a hell of a run, and we want to thank you for coming on here and talking to us about it. Real quick before we go, though, we're gonna play some of the Weekapog jam for everybody.
That was my highlight, so.
Yeah, so we'll give everybody some of that, and then I guess we're on to San Francisco, or at least somebody is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people pushing on, so safe travels to everyone out there.
Definitely.
And I'll see you guys at Dick's if you're there.
All right, maybe I'll see you at Lockin.
All right, perfect, man.
Cool, have a safe trip, and thanks for joining us. And this is, for everybody again, this is John Landis here with us at Lon Jandis. On the Twitters, and thank you all for listening to the HF Pod, and you can find us on the internet at hfpod.com and on the Twitters at HF Pod, and you probably already knew that, so I'll stop wasting your time and play some Weekapog. Thanks, guys.
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly 2 centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Tove, can you turn off the lights for a second so I can just look at the night sky? Thanks, man.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, longtime government and law teacher, and on my podcast, Here's Where It Gets Interesting. I dive deeply into the stories you haven't heard about America's greatest thinkers and figureheads. I also interview many of today's leading cultural experts like Adam Grant, Ken Burns, and Patrick Radden Keefe, who share their insights, challenge us to think in new and innovative ways. So follow Here's Where It Gets Interesting on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of 8 cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.